Disclosure is unprompted if the taxpayer has no reason to believe HMRC have discovered or are about to discover the failure. Disclosure takes place where a taxpayer tells HMRC about the failure, gives HMRC reasonable help in calculating the resulting unpaid tax, and allows HMRC access to records to check the amount of unpaid tax. The actual reduction in the penalty depends on the quality of the elements of the disclosure, including timing, nature, and extent. Let's run through a numerical illustration. Peter has a portfolio of investment properties producing rental income. He is a higher rate taxpayer. He files his tax return for 2010-11 on the 30th of January 2012. The return shows his property income to be £72,000. Due to carelessness on Peter's part, his property income should have been declared to be £90,000. We will calculate the maximum penalty that Peter could be charged by HMRC for his error. Now let's look at the solution. The error on Peter's return is £90,000 of correct income less £72,000 of disclosed income, giving an understatement of £18,000. Tax on the £18,000 at 40% is £7,200. Peter's error is careless, so the maximum penalty for the error is 30% of the potential lost revenue of £7,200, being £2,160. This will be charged in addition to the tax of £7,200 and any interest if the tax is paid after the normal due date for payment. Note here that if Peter discovers the error before HMRC and he voluntarily discloses his mistake, the penalty can be reduced to nil. HMRC have the power to reduce the penalty if there are special circumstances. You will see that these penalty provisions are very similar to the failure to notify penalties we have already looked at. One difference to note is that there are no penalties for inaccuracies where the person has taken reasonable care. For example, an inaccuracy resulting from an arithmetical or transposition error which is not large in either absolute terms or in relation to the overall liability, such that it would be identified in a review, would not result in a penalty. So, reporting a car benefit figure as £5,120 instead of £5,210 would not incur a penalty. But reporting interest of £100 instead of £100,000 would. However, an inaccuracy which was not careless or deliberate at the time the return was submitted will be treated as careless if the person discovers the inaccuracy at a later date but does not take reasonable steps to inform HMRC. One other difference to the late notification penalty is that the reduction in a penalty for a careless error does not depend on when HMRC discover the inaccuracy. Penalties can also be charged if an assessment issued by HMRC understates the liability and the taxpayer fails to take reasonable steps to notify HMRC within 30 days from the date of issue of the assessment. The rate of the penalty is the same as for a careless error. The potential lost revenue is generally the extra tax due as a result of the discovery of the error. Where an inaccuracy has the result that a loss is wrongly recorded and the loss has been wholly used, then the potential lost revenue is calculated as before. In cases where the loss has not been wholly used, the potential lost revenue is the sum of the lost revenue in respect of the amount of the loss used to reduce the tax payable plus 10% of any part that has not been so used. Where the inaccuracy results in tax being declared later than it should have been, the potential lost revenue is 5% per annum of the delayed tax. If the calculation of the potential lost revenue in respect of more than one inaccuracy depends on the order in which they are corrected, a careless inaccuracy is taken to be corrected before a deliberate inaccuracy. Similarly, a deliberate but not concealed inaccuracy is taken to be corrected before a deliberate and concealed inaccuracy. A few final points on penalties for incorrect returns. If a penalty is charged due to failure to take reasonable care, it may be suspended for 2 years, provided the suspension conditions agreed with HMRC are kept and no further penalties are incurred in the suspension period. If the conditions are met throughout the suspension period, the penalty will be cancelled. The ability to suspend a penalty is intended to support those who try to meet their obligations by giving them time to improve their systems, which help them to avoid penalties for inaccuracies in the future. Suspension of a penalty is not possible where it relates to an error that was deliberate or deliberate and concealed. A penalty in respect of an inaccuracy must be paid within 30 days of the date the notice of assessing the penalty is issued, or interest will be charged. The decision to issue a penalty, or the amount of the penalty payable, can be appealed against by the taxpayer. The taxpayer will not be liable for actions taken on his behalf by an agent, where he can show that he took reasonable care to avoid an inaccuracy or failure. Where a return is incorrect because a third party has deliberately provided false information or deliberately withheld information from the taxpayer with the intention of the return being incorrect, a penalty can be charged on the third party, whether or not the taxpayer is charged a penalty in respect of the same inaccuracy. The taxpayer may be charged a penalty for the same inaccuracy if they did not take reasonable care to ensure the information supplied by the third party was correct. However, the total of the penalties charged cannot exceed 100% of the potential lost revenue. There is a double jeopardy rule preventing a penalty being charged in respect of an inaccuracy or failure where there has already been a criminal conviction. There are now 3 examples to have a look at. Lester should have submitted his return on the 31st of January 2012. The return was filed on the 4th of March 2012 and is therefore late. As the return is late, this extends the time in which the revenue can commence an inquiry. We add 12 months to the filing date, which takes us to the 4th of March 2013. The final date by which the revenue can commence an inquiry is the end of the calendar quarter following the 4th of March 2013. The next quarter will end on the 30th of April 2013. The notice must therefore be sent to Leicester no later than the 30th of April 2013. Kenneth started trading in the tax year 2010-11. Kenneth notified the revenue on the 4th of October 2011, which is within 6 months of the year end, so there is no late notification penalty. The return was issued on the 19th of January 2012. The return is due either on the 31st of January 2012 or within 3 months of the issue of the return. The return is therefore due no later than the 19th of April 2012. The return was actually submitted online on the 20th of February 2013 and is obviously late. As the return is 10 months late, an initial penalty of £100 plus daily penalties will be charged. There is also a tax-geared penalty as the return is submitted more than 6 months late. The penalties to be charged for the late return are therefore £1,300. The first thing we need to do is establish the amount of the potential lost revenue. Zach, who is a higher rate taxpayer, overstated his expenses by £15,000, i.e. income of £15,000 has not been charged to tax. The potential lost revenue is therefore 40% of £15,000, being £6,000. Next, we need to consider the type of error. Not only did Zach take the decision to overstate his expenses, he took action to support the incorrect figures by creating false invoices. The error is therefore deliberate and concealed, giving a maximum penalty of 100% of the potential lost revenue. Finally, we need to determine the type of disclosure. Zach only notified HMRC of the error once they had commenced an inquiry into the return. So, the disclosure is prompted. The minimum penalty is therefore 50% of the potential lost revenue. This concludes this initial lecture on self-assessment. In the next lecture, we will look at the payment dates for tax under the self-assessment system.